Opposition to offshore drilling in North Carolina's coastal communities is strong. In the last 5 years, more than 30 local governments along the state's coast have passed resolutions against this method of oil and gas extraction. And last week, more than 200 coastal residents traveled on buses to the state capitol to rally against renewed efforts to lease federal waters near the state's coast to fossil fuel companies. Department of Environmental Quality Secretary Michael Regan spoke at the rally.
The Cooper administration is proud, proud of you because of your unwavering dedication and objections to offshore drilling. So we are here standing shoulder to shoulder with each and every one of you, letting them know that their plan is not okay with North Carolina.
Many coastal residents opposed to offshore drilling say it would threaten their local economies, which rely almost exclusively on tourism.
We have a $3.4 billion industry supporting 36,000 jobs right now. Oil and gas exploration threatens that. It threatens our beaches. It threatens the second largest estuary in the country, our first national seashore in the whole country, at Cape Hatteras. It threatens our shoreline. It threatens our people, it threatens our way of life, it threatens our way of living.
That was Executive Director of the Outer Banks Visitors Bureau, Lee Nettles, speaking at the rally. The event coincided with a Bureau of Ocean Energy Management public meeting where residents could comment on the federal offshore drilling plan. Joe Ramos serves on the board of directors for the North Carolina Coastal Federation. He traveled to the event on a bus with dozens of others from Morehead City and says he's already submitted an online comment against the plan.
There's a lot of risk involved in drilling, and it's not commensurate with what might be gained economically. We have a very viable coastal ecotourism industry, and why put that at risk for a resource that, frankly, we don't need? There's a glut of oil in the world.
Those who couldn't attend the meeting have until this Friday to submit comments through BOEM's website. Chief of the agency's Office of Strategic Management, Renee Orr, says they're looking for well-researched comments that relate to the environment, the economy, and the state's laws, goals, and policies.
So the comments that they provide, if they can be framed in the context of those factors, that's how we communicate the information to the secretary. So what we're really trying to do is help the public provide better informed comments that can be much more impactful to the secretary as he's making these decisions. You know, a statement, I love it or I hate it, is not helpful to him in making the decision about whether to include an area for potential oil and gas lease sale.
The fight against offshore drilling is not new to residents in coastal North Carolina. Activists there take credit for stopping the Obama administration's 2015 proposal to open mid-Atlantic waters to oil and gas developers. But the struggle dates back even further. In 1988, a group called Legacy formed in Manio resident Michael McOwen's living room soon after Outer Banks residents learned of Mobil's plans to begin drilling in nearby waters.
We were a little shocked. The word came out. I heard about it originally from a friend of mine who worked for Greenpeace, and we were in the process of trying to figure out what is going on, who are these people, and no one knew anything about this. And so the community started to come together.
McOwen says from that point forward, the group spent years educating the community about the risks of offshore drilling, gathering signatures from visitors and residents who were opposed to it, and speaking to local, state, and federal lawmakers. Finally, in 1997, Congress approved a 20-year moratorium on offshore drilling near the state's coast through the Outer Banks Protection Act.
That was the turning point for us when that happened. But that was on the back of a lot of lobbying. A number of us went to Congress, then went to D.C. and walked the halls and talked to everybody we could talk to. It was a really full-blown effort to defeat Mobil.
McOwen says he's optimistic that North Carolina's fight against offshore drilling will continue to succeed. He says that's because residents today are expressing opposition at a much earlier stage, before offshore oil and gas leases have even been sold. 30 years ago, Mobil had already purchased the rights to drill before residents began to organize. He also says today's resistance is much stronger and more organized than it was back then.
It's amazing to see a community, and really when I say community, a whole coast, be very, very unanimously opposed to something. I've seen letters going from the county commissioners already. I've seen the towns engaged. I've seen the chambers of commerce engaged. The leadership organizations in our community are already stepping up. Back in the 80s and 90s, we had to go and really educate and beg them to do this. At this point, everybody's 100%.
Since last year, Governor Cooper has taken an active stance against offshore drilling in the Mid-Atlantic. He's written letters to the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, has held meetings and phone calls with U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, and has traveled to Washington, D.C. to voice opposition. Southern Environmental Law Center attorney Sierra Weaver says state-level resistance like this helps improve the chances of thwarting the sale of oil and gas leases near the coast.
The states and local governments have a very important role to play in this process. They may not necessarily have a veto, but they are very important for raising concerns about local resources. So they get to raise concerns about impacts to fisheries, impacts to the local tourism economy. They get to raise exactly the types of concerns they have been raising, and the federal government is required to consider those.
Governor Cooper has also threatened to sue the federal government if the final oil and gas lease schedule includes the Mid-Atlantic region. The state hasn't yet revealed its legal strategy, but Weaver says there are a variety of avenues it could take.
You could imagine the state taking action under the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, which governs the leasing process, the National Environmental Policy Act, which requires full consideration of the environmental consequences of an action. You can imagine them considering action under the Endangered Species Act because of the sensitive and vulnerable ecosystems that are at stake in North Carolina.
Weaver says even if leases are ultimately sold in the Mid-Atlantic, state and local governments still have ways to stop oil companies from drilling.
Whether that is decisions about the coastal management plan made at the state level, or whether it is local zoning decisions that affect the ability to come into specific municipalities or counties, yes, for areas that are concerned about this, they're going to have a lot of tools and a lot of opportunities to weigh in and push back on this effort from the oil industry.
After the public comment period ends on Friday, BOEM will begin putting together a draft environmental impact statement and a revised offshore drilling program proposal. Those are expected to come out later this year, followed by another public comment period. The final leasing schedule is expected to be approved at the end of 2019. If leases are sold in the Mid-Atlantic, agency representatives say it could take more than a decade before drilling would actually begin. For PRE, I'm Valerie Crowder.